Welcome once again to the LIT podcast. I am your host, Dig Johnson. Hello, hello, and welcome. This is now being released on Monday, because by the time that I get the show ready on Sunday, it's Sunday prime time, and then it's a choice of Family Guy, True Blood, Newsroom, Breaking Bad, or Laughing at Them podcast. So, I'm going to make it easy for you, and this will be ready on Monday mornings. If you're subscribed to iTunes, then you can get this downloaded to your iPod on Monday morning automatically, and you can check on the website, laughingatthem.com, and get the latest episode. So, something more for your convenience. This week, of course, on Mondays, it's Laughing at Mondays at New Way Bar in Ferndale, Michigan. Open mic night, where I bring up some of the best up-and-coming comics in the Detroit area to perform some of their newer material. And this Monday is special because it's during the Dream Cruise. Dream Cruise comedy night at New Way Bar this week. That means that if you want to break from the comedy for some reason, you can go outside, have a cigarette, and get carbon monoxide poisoning from some very classic cars as they roar up and down Woodward Avenue with their out-of-date mufflers and old crotchety catalytic converters. Yes, you can enjoy that. Still, no cover, $2 PBR beer specials, $5 dinner specials. Also, probably other shot specials because it's, the Dream Cruise. Something special for you Detroiters. Grab some lawn chairs, sit outside, or hell, sit up on the stage right by those two big windows behind me and enjoy the comedy at your back and classic cars to your front. Please come out to that. This Tuesday, which is August 14th, I will be at Izzy's Bar and Grill in Roseville, Michigan. New place for me, haven't been there before, but it's put on by Sidney Smith of the Detroit Funnies. He does not put on a bad show, so I am glad to be going up there. The show starts at 8:30, but you might want to get there at 8. There's great dinner and drink specials there. I don't have the details because I've never been there before, but you can come and check out that. Also, this Thursday, I'm going to be at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase in lovely downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the campus of U of M, sort of like a little New York in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Very nice place, very nice place. Cover for that show is only $5. Show starts at 8 o'clock. It is probably one of the best comedy clubs. Yeah, it was hard to decide on if it's club or comedy nirvana. It's probably one of the best comedy clubs in the Midwest, the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Please come out to that on Thursday, August 16th, and see me there. Well, 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 what do we have for you this week? Well, this week I'm joined by a good friend, Matt Gully, guest host of previous podcasts. To know him is to love him. And we're talking about all types of stuff. We're talking about his very successful Twitter project that he launched and his player hating on other Twitter celebrities, sort of. We're talking about a weird incident that he had when trying to buy a personal product from a certain CVS and the hoops he had to jump through. Plus, I go over and review my performance in the recent Angel Boost Egg Roll Invitational Comedy Contest that I was at last Thursday. For those of you that didn't come out to that, thanks a lot. I didn't move on to the next round. But there were other parts of my performance that might have been the reason also, and I go through that with Matt. So a little bit of what not to do in a comedy contest advice being put out here on this podcast as a community service. Really stuff that's just common sense. If the contest is audience vote, help by bringing audience to vote for you. I can't do that. I'm at the age where all of my contemporaries are just starting families or have families and can't come out to a bar on a Thursday night and listen to their good friend Dig tell hilarious jokes. Also, speaking of hilarious jokes. Have jokes that you know are hilarious, prepared for the contest to put your best foot forward. Also, look at your audience and don't say things that will offend them. So, all that and more on this episode, the L at T show number 18. I was just trying to make you laugh. Just trying to make you laugh. Oh.
This is Laughing At Them with Dick Johnson.
I spit hate every which way when I dictate fixed rate, so don't put my shit on a mixtape. That's a mistake, cause my rhymes will bite you right back. Devour the other tracks, seek a set next track.
Welcome to LaughingAtThem.com, your podcast with the mostest, with two hostesses. I am one host, I am Dig Johnson. You can follow me on Twitter, this Dig. This D-I-G-G Johnson on Twitter. I'm joined with a good friend and regular co-host, Mr. Matt Gully.
Hello, I'm Matt Gully, approximately 6 feet, 1 inches tall, about 175 pounds of pure comedy. And it's so good to be here.
Pure comedy. Yep, you can support and follow Matt at Gully of One. GullyOfOne on Twitter.
Love that Twitter.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Had some pizza delivered to my house. So that's a new thing that people are doing.
Yep.
and I am a bona fide internet celebrity.
So are you?
That's been great. Yeah.
How, when, I think that Gully of One has less followers than I do.
Yes, that's true. But I have a other account. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's Self-Aware Roomba.
What? Wait a minute. You're saying that you're Self-Aware Roomba?
I am Self-Aware Roomba. I have 7,500 followers. The Vanity Fair Twitter is one of my followers, which is interesting. That's been a lot of fun. I tweet as a really depressed vacuum cleaning robot, and the people of America, in resounding unison, have said, yes, we like and appreciate this. And really, they just lift me onto their shoulders as a social media comedy god. And that's really how I think about myself, constantly.
Okay, it was hard for me to absorb all of that because I was having like a Bruce Wayne revelation moment, much like at the end of The Dark Knight Rises,
right?
When like Batman mentions how Commissioner Gordon put his jacket around a young boy whose parents got killed,
yep.
and Commissioner Gordon puts two and two together to realize that Matt Gully is the Self-Aware Roomba.
Yes, that. Huh. Yep. And then he flies away with a nuclear bomb.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Indeed. Well.
Spoiler alert. Batman is billionaire playboy Bruce Wayne.
Yes, he is.
Yikes.
Spoiler alert.
I spoiled the whole franchise for people.
The whole franchise going back to the 50s.
Yeah.
When it was first written up.
People didn't know that he is Bruce Wayne. But I'm laying down the line right here and now.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So Self-Aware Roomba is a big hit. I would be reluctant to call it like a hit amongst all Americans when you only have like 7,500 followers. That's impressive for nobody comics like us. But I mean, like, you know, really like Rucka Ali has like a 25,000.
Is that like his boxing daughter? Or is that Ali Ali? Aaliyah Ali.
That's like a Ali, A-L-I. Rucka Ali, like also known as DJ Paper Plates, was like the host of the Omera's Comedy Contest. Like he is a local, do I call him a comic? He's a local humorist / comic.
Sure.
That, has done well for himself.
Well, I'm pretty sure 24,500 of those followers are all porno bots.
Really? Perhaps so. Do you know anybody else personally that's verified on Twitter?
Do I know any? Is he verified?
He's verified.
He has the check mark? That fucking bastard.
His videos on YouTube have got to have, like, you know, at least 5 million views total. Yeah, so, you know.
I think I might be involved in some sort of murder for hire plot now because.
Because you're feeling good about yourself?
He must be vanquished.
Yeah, well. Like, you know, I mean, like, he does, like, you know, different videos about different bits. A lot of ethnic humor where he, like, you know, or, takes on a lot of different characters and whatnot. Like, you know, more than just a robotic vacuum that's suddenly
Are you calling me a one-trick pony? Is that the allegation?
No. One-trick robot, maybe, but not pony. No, you know, is that another character
depressed pony? Depressed pony robot?
Yeah.
Which reminds me...
Must they always be robots?
They must always be robots.
Okay.
It's like that scene from Glengarry Glen Ross where Alec Baldwin's like, ABR, always be robots.
I see.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I believe that's how the scene goes.
It's a reference most won't get. But probably those in the 7,500
yes.
that follow you, like, you know, that, like, select slice of the intelligentsia.
Much like Mitt Romney, I am not a man of the people.
I see.
Gotcha. I'm a man of the people who matter.
Oh, okay. All right. Wonderful.
Yes. I'm actually quite humble and modest person. I am.
Modest, insecure, potato, potato. Yes. You kind of folded back on like that arrogance rather quick.
But
but that's a great accomplishment. You know, for you to find a character that resonates from such simple things. That's like the core of art. From such simple pieces, something of great aesthetic significance is created.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of ponies and Mitt Romney's horse that he owns is in the Olympics right now.
In the dressage category.
Mitt Romney owns a horse, mm-hmm. and it's really sad that he is not the one riding it, because I think he would win America's heart just by doing that, you know?
I don't think he would. I think that would come off as completely elitist, which is an image that he's trying to fight constantly.
But if he, like, struggled and then just got, like, the bronze medal, mm-hmm. it'd be like, Mitt Romney is America's underdog, you know? Your basic underdog guy making $20 million a year off some investments he made 15 years ago.
You know,
an underdog.
Yeah, you know, sort of like the new Rocky.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Mitt Romney. Instead of
punching cattle carcasses in a warehouse, he's just punching giant bags of money that he owns.
I guess so.
His hands are calloused with canvas and greenbacks.
Yeah, you know, and paper cuts.
Yes.
Many, many thousands of, like, paper cuts.
The horse's name is Rafalka.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it is...
Actually, let me interrupt you to say that Mitt Romney's horse competing in the Olympics in dressage has been covered by every comedy show for the past week.
Are you saying it's played?
Yes, it is very played.
It's so played.
That is why we do evergreen topics here on Laughing at Them and stay away from the topical.
I was assuming that America demanded to know my take on Mitt Romney's horse.
Well, okay. All right. If the self-aware rumor was tasked with cleaning up the stables
mm-hmm.
of Rafalka,
yes.
what would be some of the tweets that self-aware rumor would send?
Put me on the spot here, but I mean, obviously,
they would be funny, robotic, existential tweets.
There'd be some like Nietzsche quotes in there. Just you take out the word abyss and you put in carpet, and that's basically my formula. You know,
okay.
go to philosophyquotes.com, copy paste, and then put in like carpet, chip crumbs, cat hair. And that's how your self-aware Roomba sausage gets made.
I see. Okay, so you apply dirty, like filth, basically common everyday filth.
Yes,
gets applied to existential questions.
It becomes the metaphor for the filth of life.
I see.
The filth that we all must process every now and then to become better people.
Is that what they told you on Vanity Fair's tweet? Is like that how they mentioned you?
No, the actual mention I got from the Vanity Fair Twitter was, self-aware Roomba should clean up NY at NY Pop Chips crumbs, because Pop Chips are a new brand of chips, and I guess they just wanted to put two and two together. So I'm getting sucked into the corporate branding machine, if you will. My art is being co-opted. And I couldn't be more happy about it, actually. Co-opt me all you want, world.
At, like, the end, are you going to reveal that Gully of One is the voice behind Software Room?
It'll be Bruce Wayne.
It will be Bruce Wayne?
Bruce Wayne is Roomba.
Uh-huh.
I guess. I don't know how that works.
There you have it, the identity of the infamous self-aware Roomba, now revealed. It is Matt Gully of Gully of One on Twitter, at GulleyOfOne, Gully of One on Twitter. That's Matt Gully, my good friend, up-and-coming comedy writer and performer. Matt Gully is making his debut to the Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle stage this Wednesday, August 15th. Show starts at 8 o'clock, only $3. Matt's very excited about this. I didn't even have to ask him what he wanted to plug. This is what he wants to plug. Will I be up there? I might be. I'm going to try. I'm not on the official list, but got a little bit of swagger, a little bit of skill, a little bit of begging skills. I may be hosting or maybe hopefully just appearing this Wednesday at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, but Matt definitely will be up there sharing his unique point of view in a very eloquent way, not robotic, unlike the Roomba, very professorial, very elegant, much like my comedy style. That's probably why like we're friends. So yeah, come up to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm gonna have a link for that location. Show starts at 8 p.m. August 15th. That's this Wednesday. Come up and see Matt. And with that plug, we return to the show.
Like, are you gonna have Roomba commit suicide?
Probably.
Okay. How would a Roomba commit suicide?
I don't know. Maybe it would just, like, try to create a vacuum so powerful that it creates a mini black hole, and then all matter is instantly destroyed in one moment towards singularity.
Or it bumps into a table and a glass of Pepsi falls over on it.
Either
and
or.
And shorts it out like you
know. Either or. I find America is really into singularity humor.
Really?
That's a deep well, you know?
Yeah.
Event horizons and wormholes and, you know.
Chandrasekhar limits.
Yes, of course I know what that means.
Oh, well, that's just like, you know, the altitude of the orbit that you can sustain around a black hole. Anything closer and you fall in, anything else and you actually orbit it. Like a star.
Are you reading Wikipedia right now?
No, I'm not. Yeah, like, you know, see, when I was your age, we went to school, and we actually put things inside of our heads. We like, altered our brains in order to memorize data that like, you know,
are you
sticks
saying,
and whatnot.
Are you saying that you were hooked on mind-altering facts while in school?
Oh, mind-altering facts. See, yes, but we just called it study. It sounds like we're getting into an intergenerational clash.
Yes.
Let us bond with some of the troubles that we've had during our respective weeks.
Okay.
In a segment that we call...
Laughing at the Week.
So, Matt.
Yes.
So that you ran into a bit of a problem at the pharmacy.
I ran into a bit of a problem at the pharmacy.
Yes.
I'm Matt Gully. I'm a official registered sex haver. I feel like a separate... I know, right? I feel like a separate category should exist because we all know about like sex offenders who have to go door to door to report their unspeakable crimes to their neighbors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like there should be a more joyful category of like registered like sex havers where when I move into a neighborhood, I have to go to everybody's door and be like, "Hi, my name is Matt Gully. I just moved in. I enjoy Sudoku and crossword puzzles. And I have sex with people. And everybody enjoys themselves. But I am federally required to report this to you." And then just, you know, and just go on my way. I feel like that ought to be a law. Anyways, in the course of, you know, keep it safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's my motto. So what does that require? Protection.
Yeah.
Condoms, and they don't just give you a lifetime supply. People don't have, you know, condom making machines in their house, so you must occasionally venture out
without getting too personal, is this a a casual type thing, like a friends with benefits, or is this the buddings of a new relationship?
I would say it was the former rather than the latter.
All right. Beneficial friendships.
Just people being people with people.
Beneficial friendship.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, okay. Friend is too strong of a word.
All right. No, friend is good. Friend is good.
All right. A semi-regular occasional sex partner. Gotcha.
Yes. But one must occasionally venture out of the house to purchase said condoms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it starts to get real. I don't know when buying condoms became like the Sisyphean task of like my entire month. But I went to local CVS,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully this is not libel or slander for saying so.
Mm-hmm.
They have a pretty fucked up system when it comes to buying condoms, because they lock the condoms away in a glass compartment,
mm-hmm.
and you have to like push a, there's a big red button that says customer attention.
Yeah, sure.
And then at the low end, so you're supposed to push that button,
mm-hmm.
and someone is alerted that you are in the condom section and need someone to come over with a key and unlock them so you can pick out that particular brand that you're into.
I've experienced something similar. Besides the condoms, behind the glass case is where they keep the thesauruses. Like, I needed to get to a thesaurus to look at what Sisyphean meant.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to push the red button. Maybe, since you were recently in the condom thesaurus case,
yes,
you could tell me what Sisyphean means.
Okay, well, sure. Sisyphean refers to the myth of Sisyphus.
Yes.
Who was banished by, it was Greek, Roman, who knows.
Probably Greek, because the Romans stole everything from the Greeks.
Yeah, originally it was Greek, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a guy or a god. It's not really the details of the story that are important, but its metaphorical importance,
mm-hmm.
is he was cursed until the end of time to roll a boulder up a mountain,
mm-hmm.
only to get to the top and have the boulder roll back down the mountain, thus having to keep doing this until the end of time.
Wow.
So Sisyphus, the word Sisyphean, refers to a task of... it's very strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
It seemingly lasts forever,
mm-hmm.
but then you just have to keep doing it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively meaningless, torturous task.
I see. So Mitt Romney winning the hearts of the average American is a Sisyphean task.
Yes.
Okay.
It will never happen. He should just start trying to buy votes.
Start? I think that
Yeah,
you know, that's basically every politician ever since the history of politicals.
When I say starts, in Mitt Romney's case, it should be ramp up efforts towards.
Okay, there you go.
So they lock away the condoms. With the,
right,
with
condoms at CVS, was it?
At CVS.
CVS, go to Rite Aid from now on. This is our tacit endorsement of Rite Aid. Please go ahead.
So normally you push the button, which is just a horrible dehumanizing thing, like push button for, mm-hmm. you know, person to come up and unlock the condoms.
You know, if you're good at pushing the button, you might not even need the condoms.
Heyo.
Ha ha.
Heyo.
Yes. Please. If you would like to pause.
Let's have a moment of silence for that joke.
Why? You laughed. Oh, okay. So you were laughing at me? Very good. Well, that's the name of the podcast.
That's the name of the podcast.
He's laughing at Dig.
Yes.
.com. The
Dig.
L at D show.
Yeah. But in this particular CVS,
yes.
the button had like a little thing next to it saying, button is broken. Please go to front to request. So I go to...
What if you said, like, button is broken. Push this button if this button is broken. That would be awesome.
To have a button repairman be summoned to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like this is a big to-do.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
You know, and I guess it's because they get shoplifted all the time, or they just want to, like, discourage people from buying condoms at all because it's such a big deal. So I wait in line.
Yeah.
And there's like five people in front of me. I wait in line, get to the front. I'm like, could someone please unlock the condom box, the lock for me?
See, you could have said the secured items. That way, avoiding the usage of condom, which I'm sure was embarrassing.
Well, here's it is embarrassing. Yes. But if I just went for a vague like secured items, liquor is also locked up. Mm-hmm. At the CVS.
With the condoms?
Not, they're separate. They're in separate
really?
Sections.
You would think that they would go they, side by
you
side.
You think they'd go side by side, but they're not. They're in opposite sides of the store. So when I say, can you please unlock the secured items, they wouldn't know if I was an alcoholic or a freak.
What if you pointed towards the secured items that like you wanted?
That would be worse. That would
and
be the
you
worst
pointed towards your penis. the secured
but then it's,
penis.
But then it's a trick on them in the end because I just dipped my penis into the alcohol.
Oh, okay. Huh. I'm not sure how effective that is.
It's not. It takes a long time.
And stings probably, too.
A little bit.
Please continue.
So
far, this does sound as hard as rolling a boulder up a mountain. Please go ahead.
It is.
Yes.
And so a lady gives me like, oh, okay. My associate will help you. And because she needed to like go help someone crop their photos in the photo section of the CVS. So she leaves.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
and then it's up to the next woman, middle-aged woman, who English was her second language.
What was her first?
Who knows?
Gibberish. That's
might as well be. Might as well be. Uh-huh. So she's like, she's
your
like,
accent
oh.
accurately.
I won't.
Oh, take the picture, Matt.
No, because I don't want to. I don't want to cause a.
If you don't name the country, then only the racists will know, and they won't be able to like protest. If I talk like this,
and
I don't mention who I'm insulting, then
well,
I cannot.
We walk. She got the key in her hand. We walk halfway through the store. She's like, alcohol. Like I said, condoms to her. Uh-huh. And then, like 30 seconds later, she's like, alcohol. I'm like. And I had to, like, say it, like, I had to say it loud, like, firmly, because I wanted her to, like, understand, you know? Because she asked me, like...
No, condoms, you foreign whore. That's how you said it firmly.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I wrote that exact wording down on a note and slipped it across the table to her. You know, because I'm a man of propriety.
Uh-huh.
So
the country she from women are allowed to like read that
let's say
down.
Let's say Tajikistan.
Okay, cool. All right, Tajikistan. Very
Tajikistan.
Good. Yeah, okay.
We get to the condom section. She's got the key, and she can't. She's like working the key in the slot, which is not an innuendo.
Yeah,
this is, she's working it. And it's
sure. Tajikistan, they don't have key technology yet.
Not yet.
They just roll heavy boulders in front of things to protect them.
Yeah. They're still on that thumbprint identification thing. It's way...
Their version of the club is horrible.
In Tajikistan, the car club is a club.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, yes. Yeah, you know, put in the spokes of the wagon. Right.
So she's, like, asking me to help. Like, I have to, like... I have to put a little pressure on the sliding glass door while she's working the key. Mm-hmm. So we're like working in tandem, and it just was so I was just overcome. Like I couldn't deal with it. You know, like I was just like, this is too much. You know, no other product demands that you like go through all these, you know, hoops. Just like, get it, and they have it because they have it locked up. This whole thing. So
is all the gin gone?
No, shouldn't be. I think it's in the freezer.
Okay, gotcha.
So I get the condoms and then I go back up to
what
the
kind of condoms?
Trojan.
Why?
Now we're getting into some I'm not
getting like to like Greek history now.
I'm
see
not,
like, you know, Sisyphus, Trojans, they all match up.
Yes, the whole like Olympics / condoms thing is really a segue for me to talk about my love of Greek history.
Gotcha.
But it was a certain brand that I've come to know and appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back. So I have them now. I have them in my hand, and I had a 6-pack of beer up at the front because I brought that up there.
Yeah.
I brought that up there originally with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go right to the front because I was already like there. Like she was the clerk. She'd come to help me. So we do the transaction, and it's all well and good. All right, I have the condoms. I have 6-pack of beer in the bag. It's like a, you know, To Catch a Predator, like, starting set, you know? Because Chris Hansen always, like, says, so what do you got there? And it's always, like, six-pack and some condoms. That's what I had.
Condoms, beer, Greek literature.
Yes. And a copy of the Odyssey in the original Greek.
Ooh. I wasn't trying to get, like, racist or nothing.
Thank you, Amit.
Yeah. Greeks were boy fuckers.
I have, allegedly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's slander, man.
Those dioramas don't lie.
Imagine those dioramas being entered as evidence in a trial. piece of stone.
Clearly, you can see Aristophanes giving it hard.
Oh, God.
To young Leonidas. Please go ahead.
That's why he was such a good warrior. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anger.
So I had completed the transaction and went through all those, like, all the stuff, and I'm walking out the store with my bag, and this guy who was in line behind me turns to me as I'm leaving and says, maybe, and he's this guy, fucking this guy, he's wearing a wife beater, shorts, he's kind of like got like...
Security guard?
No, he was a customer. A customer in line behind me, and he's just like, just some dirty white guy.
I wasn't trying to get, like, racist or nothing.
I mean, that's the best way to describe him, really.
Okay, gotcha.
And he turns to me as I'm walking away and says really loud so everyone can hear. It's like, maybe next time you'll wait in line like everybody else. Mm. And I turned to him and said, I did wait in line. And then thankfully the clerks, the cashier, backed me up. They're like, oh, no, he was waiting in line. He just had to go get something.
Nice.
They covered me. Although, but then he, like, he's
don't
like,
you know that this young man is a federally registered sex haver?
Yes. I, like, show him, like, I, like, flip the wallet really quick, like, sex haver.
Yeah, like, you know, put the condoms right on his forehead. Do you know what these are?
Yeah.
Do you know what these are?
He's probably never seen one of those in his life.
Nope.
And not that he doesn't have sex. He probably uses
duct tape.
Probably.
Dirty man.
Dirty man.
Or scotch. Hmm. Interesting question, but that's for later. Please go ahead.
And so then he's like, well, then I apologize.
Really?
Yeah.
He was such a sophisticated. I feel like before the banks went belly up, he used to be an executive. You caught him down on his luck, and you reminded him of his civility.
I guess. I just, you know, it's one of those things, like, those moments don't happen very often in real life, but then... When they do happen, you realize, you know, like, what a charade, like, shopping is. Like, you're in the store, and we're all people, but there are people behind the counter, and their role is to fucking, like, take your money and do that, and we're in lines, and it's a whole, like, thing that we've practiced as a society, waiting in line for shopping.
It's a schema or a structure.
Yeah, it's a structure. It's a dance. It's a big dance that everybody recognizes, you know?
Yeah.
The waiting in line. But to, like, get called out on... Like, supposedly violating those rules of the dance that we've all learned of convenient shopping. It was, like, sort of like, wow, he really thinks I was just trying to violate those rules, you know? Mm-hmm. And brazenly at that, you know? Because I walked right by everybody in line.
How old was it?
I'd say he was probably in his late 30s.
Late 30s, huh?
Yeah.
You might remind him of somebody that... has violated the familiar dance of structure.
Probably.
That we all live. So he might typecast you.
But he was all about it.
Wearing a tuxedo or suit.
I was not.
Okay.
I was wearing, well, not this, but.
So it's not a class thing.
Probably was a class thing.
Oh, really?
Because I exude high class. I don't know.
Oh, because you were clean and he was dirty.
Yes.
So that in and of itself is a class distinction.
Yeah. He's like, who's this guy? Wearing pants and a belt, cutting in front of me in line. But it was just like...
Doesn't he know that I need this ringworm medicine for my groin? See, that's a class distinction.
Exactly.
You don't know what he needed. Maybe he needed the alcohol in the secure cabinet more than you needed the condoms.
Probably.
Yeah, you know. Were you going to start shaking if you didn't have sex in the hour?
No.
Well, then.
No.
My point is that you have to look at other people's problems.
I do. But just, like, just to be, like, called out on that, like, specific of a cutting in line, I mean, that goes back to grade school, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess at the end of the day, it's like, First of all, I was in the right because I did wait in line rightfully. I did my time, you know?
Yeah.
I paid my debt to society
right.
by waiting in line the first time.
You played the rules.
I played the rules. Mm-hmm. But in the end, if I had brazenly cut in line, what's it to this guy? Does he really have to, like, call me out on it in front of the whole store? Like, he was going to be some sort of, like, working class hero.
Yeah.
Being like, you have to do what everyone else has to do, guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was kind of embarrassed because, like, the clerks were like, no, he was waiting in line. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left. But as I left, I chuckled maybe a little bit louder to myself than I normally would have had.
Yeah.
Because I wanted him to hear my disdain for him. And then I went in my car and I came back here and ordered a pizza.
And there was no sex waiting here? Or do you have something planned for after the podcast?
Nothing planned. Nothing planned. I was just out.
We'll see where this gin takes us.
We'll see.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, Lord.
LAT Comedy Break.
Like, black history is not all that complex. It's like, you know, it really should be called, like, you know, survived white people. So far. Months. That's what it's called. Like, I mean, you go back to the beginning, like, you know, the first Europeans came to Africa and whatnot. It's kind of a weird scene, I'm sure. Like, some white guy come up, like, hello? Some black guy, like, hello? I am English. From England. Who are you? We are the Niger people. Welcome to Nigeria. Niger. Do you spell that with a J or with a G? What is a J? G. Think I'll use a second G to remind me. N-I-G-G-E-R, Niger. Oh, I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. It really spells nigger. It is good to meet you, English. I am still amazed by these boats. They are like houses floating on the water. It's amazing. Are they large in the inside? Would you like to take the tour? Then it's Amistad for 300 years. Basically. That's a little bit of black history. Like, the first, like, you know, servants, the first slaves over here in the United States. They were, like, white and black. Did you know that? Yeah, so, like, the first slaves were, like, white and black, you know. Like, debt servants, basically. Like, you know. They, like, brought over Africans to pick tobacco. They had to use Africans to pick tobacco because they knew they wouldn't smoke it because it wasn't menthol yet. And they brought over, like, you know, white people because, you know, it was nepotism, you know. You have, like, a cousin, a nephew graduating from college. He's just knocking about. He doesn't have a job. What do? Enslave him in a wild continent across the ocean. So that's what happened. And then, and then it's like, you know, like, they were just there to, like, work out a debt, but over time, the debt built up. They found new ways to put them into more debt. I know that sounds familiar to nowadays. And, yeah, like, you know, you ended up with a black person supposed to work 6 years, worked 16 generations. My point is that black people's credit is not as bad as you think. I'm Dick Johnson. Thank you very much.
Hey, I taped that little ditty during Black History Month, of course, at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, and I will be there again this Thursday, August the 16th. Cover is only $5. Downtown in the heart of Ann Arbor, come and see a great comedy show, get out, and then get some shawarma or some Chinese food, or buy some Birkenstocks. It's Ann Arbor. The world is yours. The hippie world is yours. Ever wanted to go to San Francisco? Just go to Ann Arbor. Pretty much the same thing. So yeah, this August 16th, I will be going back to the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase and trying out some new material. Hope to see you there. And once again, like, Matt Gulley is going to be making his debut performance at the Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle open mic this Wednesday, August 15th. Cover only $3 there in the heart of downtown Royal Oak. I'll have a link available to the site. Please come out and support him, and maybe me if I'm able to get up on the show. On Tuesday, August 14th, I will be at Izzy's Bar and Grill in Roseville, Michigan, thrown by like Sidney Smith. Lots of great comics there. I believe that Kit Tucker, another funny friend of the Laughing At Them podcast, is going to be showing up, along with some other friends of ours from the Detroit area comedy community. Please come out and enjoy that show. Of course, Laughing At Them is Monday, every Monday. This Monday is going to be the Dream Cruise Monday, so you can come by and enjoy that. No cover, $2 PBR specials, $5 dinner specials. Yeah, so lots of places to enjoy LFT-style comedy all this week. Hope to see you out at our shows, because live comedy does not exist without your participation. So if you are in like the Southeast Michigan area, come out to one of these shows, or hell, to any comedy show, basically. Throw some money for your enjoyment and support a live art form being perpetuated right here in the Midwest. Yeah, so hope to see you there. I won't beg any more. Thanks a lot for listening. And now we will go back to the Laughing At Them show. Laughing at the week. Was recently in the Angel Boosk Egg Roll Invitational Lupus Benefit and Comedy Competition.
A wonderful event, I must say.
Yes, very nice event. And I was in the semifinal rounds.
One of the longest running comedy competitions I've since encountered. Because it feels like it's been going on for like 2 months now.
I think that's pretty much accurate. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, I don't recall quite when an Angel passed, but if you told me that it's been 2 months, I would definitely believe it, because I haven't been to Amara's for a regular open mic in quite some time.
Yeah.
And all of the contests have actually spawned other open mics.
Right.
To like fulfill the need. But, yeah, I was up there in the semifinals round.
You advanced out of the first round. Although we were not competing, we were competing against each other.
Were
we there first night, right?
I'm not sure if I was there first night. Who else?
Because
was
you called me. Because you called me
mm-hmm.
on Tony's behest. Remember?
Oh yeah, you were asleep.
I was not asleep. I was watching old Olympic track races in bed.
You like the Olympics a lot.
I like track and field, but yes, I like the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later.
Sure. But I was there. So I did compete directly against you.
Mm-hmm.
You advanced. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jealous or anything.
Okay, you don't have to be. you have 7,500 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you shit in Berkeley.
Yeah, well, you know, I excite people one-on-one personally touching them. So, so yeah, or at least so I thought.
Yeah.
So like, I was in the semifinal rounds. I had a pretty good placement. I was going up third to last. Pretty good. Like,
you're fresh in their memory when it comes time to vote.
Yes, exactly. However, I do believe that, for one thing, mistakes that I've... Oh, yeah, and I wanted to thank all of the zero Laughing At Them listeners who came out to support me in this contest, though I have been plugging it for a month. Actually, I have to take
that
back.
Are you just acknowledging that there are zero Laughing At Them listeners?
No. There are, like, they're scattered.
There are dozens of us.
There is one in like, Lansing.
Uh-huh.
Guaranteed. One in California.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And a handful who are the other comics that are our friends,
mm-hmm.
including one guy that passed, being John Jarif, who went up right after me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess. So, like, either they were unable to support, they couldn't take off work to drive from Lansing, Nicole, in order to come down here.
Oh,
and
Nicole, you just got shouted out. This is not TRL. It is not a good shout out.
The last couple of podcasts, like, we've been reading a lot of her comments. We've been going, like, back and forth. But, yeah, so I went up, and I feel like I made some critical mistakes. Amongst those mistakes is not bringing people. I refuse to bring people.
Okay.
To a comedy contest.
You refuse to? Because it sounds like you're contradicting yourself, like you just tried to bring people, but now it's you refuse to bring people.
when I fail to bring people, I refuse to bring people on principle. When I bring people, I am supporting comedy
exactly.
by bringing fans.
Exactly.
So my objective in the comedy contest, it's sort of like, it puts it on a higher level of difficulty for me.
You're a really principled whore.
So that, yes. Yeah, you know, I never kiss. And never face-to-face. All
right.
At all. And no nipple play.
Ass to mouth.
That's not nipples. That's not kissing. So, yes.
All right.
Ass to mouth.
Let it be noted.
Mm-hmm.
This day, I would just say the day, but I don't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's say September 35th. Dick Johnson is an ass-to-mouth man, everybody.
Yeah, if some woman wants to, like, you know, put her pussy on my ass, then bring it up to my mouth, I'll eat it. Sure. But,
not sure that's how it works, but let's say it.
Well, I don't know what kind of weird way that you do it,
okay.
But I know the
hey,
way
you're
that,
talking
that
to
I charge $75 for.
You're
so.
Talking to a federal agent of sex. Right
well, now. No, you are like just licensed to have it. You are by no means expert. On it. You are just permitted to have, much like you can drive, but you don't drive NASCAR.
That's
so.
True.
So, yeah. So, some mistakes that I made.
Okay.
Not bringing people. That's okay. Because my objective in the contest then, for one thing, it ramps up the difficulty for me.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it's a good workout. And two,
you want to win over other people's
exactly.
friends.
Exactly. I actually earn fans.
Right.
From their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because people see me like, hey, Dick Johnson, and this and that. And then I give them my business card. It's a little bit busy,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I work on it. Anyway, the other mistake is new material.
New material.
I was doing new material in the contest.
Okay.
It did pretty well.
Yeah.
But there were some parts that didn't work out that well.
What kind of new fields are you venturing into?
Well, I had one that was very simply that some guy said that, said like, hey, Dig, you're pretty white. So I shot him and took his wallet. Ha ha. Yeah, like, you know, reversal. Like, that did pretty well. And then I went into the thing about, like, Megatron, which is somewhat older,
uh-huh.
about how I don't want to be white. I want to be Megatron,
uh-huh.
The leader of the Decepticons.
Oh,
so
because I was at the Lions preseason game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say Megatron, I just think of Calvin Johnson.
My joke specifically references Calvin Johnson. Like, yeah, I'm not talking about Calvin Johnson.
Ah.
I'm talking, I'm a nerd.
You're
I'm
talking
Megatron,
about, yes.
leader of the Decepticons. Because mm-hmm. I know, because I say that, like, you know, I would never want to be white. If I could be anything, I'd want to be rich with a bigger dick. I want to be Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean Calvin. I mean leader of the Decepticons, Megatron.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that Calvin is rich, but I'm positive Megatron has a bigger dick.
Yes.
And then why would a
it's
robot need to have a big dick? So I can fuck cars. And then I go into that whole thing, like, you know.
That whole car fucking thing?
Yeah, like, you know, like a Cadillac CTS is like a curvy college chick. A Toyota Prius is like a nerdy Japanese girl. Like, a minivan is like a MILF with a backseat big enough for my Canon.
All right, but what's a PT Cruiser?
I don't know. That's not part of my joke. I just leave it there.
But what about Aztec? There's... Oh, that's...
PT Cruiser?
Well, no, I'm saying... I'm not saying a PT Cruiser isn't like an Aztec Indian. I'm saying the Aztec is another type of car. Aztec would be just an ugly person, I guess. Because the Aztec is a really ugly car.
Huh. Well, that like goes on sort of racist-y type stuff. Like, I did go with their saying that the Prius is like a nerdy Asian girl.
Yeah.
But they're never there. Asian people rarely come out to comedy competitions.
Oh, okay.
Like, the only regular that I ever saw was Angel, actually. Ironically. And, so anyway. So, like, you know, so I talk about all of these cars and how there are, like, women.
Mm-hmm.
The minivan is like a Cougar,
yes.
with a backseat big enough to hold my Canon. And then some woman says that I'm objectifying women. And I'm like, no, I'm not objectifying.
I don't get the Canon. What does that mean? I mean, I know it means your dick.
Yeah.
But who puts Canons in minivans?
Megatron, because he's fucking cars. Because the Canon is like, his primary weapon. That he's recognized for, and it's also his dick.
Which I'm not saying that
that's not funny, but I'm saying that that's so convoluted that I can see why you didn't make it to finals.
Well,
that's really convoluted.
Well, like, here is the thing. Like, when I'm actually doing it on stage, it's not convoluted.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, I'm just trying to rush through it to get
you're
to my other
me
points.
The really meandering version of the joke.
No, you keep interrupting me. With attempts at humor.
Oh, you! I was telling my comedy story and then you interrupted me like 18 times.
Yeah, but it was
you gotta roll with it.
But it was short, and I didn't ask questions that took you off the path. I made short little comments.
Are you saying your interruptions are superior to my interruptions?
Well, no, my like interjections.
Oh, the interjections!
Exactly. Oh. You, sir, are keeping me from the point, including this whole big diatribe where we're, like, you know, comparing interjections versus interruptions. Like, you know. And I was coming to the big payoff of the whole joke, but now it's petered off. So anyway, that was one new joke that I told. I told a joke where I tried to relate to, different people, and it kind of mentions, it only mentions, like, gay people.
They're not the relate to gay joke. People.
Huh?
You can't relate to gay people.
No, I can, actually, because of, like, you know, I said that, one part of it is that, like, I used to work with this guy, Jim, who was, like, gay,
mm-hmm.
and he was a really nice guy, but I wasn't interested whatsoever because I'm not gay,
mm-hmm.
and one day Jim was starting to annoy me, and I was like, wait a minute, let me put myself into Jim's shoes, and I was like, oh, I see. So Jim is hitting on me, I'm not interested in him, so this is what lesbians feel like when I'm hitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, so I did that, and that's kind of weak and brand new. Mm-hmm. And it mentions lesbians, and then I ended it off saying, like, you know, I went to a strip club after hanging out with Jim to re-manify. And I saw this woman, like, you know, like, mullet haircut, sleeve shirt, and I was trying to bond with her, like, yeah, look at these chicks, they look sexy. And she was like, you're objectifying these women. And they're people, and they're not just sex objects. And she really made me feel guilty, and I was like, huh, this must be what white men feel like when I call them racist when they're trying to, like, reach out. I wish that she would go away mm-hmm. so that I could have fun and really be myself. Like so...
Which, in the hypothetical white man, it is being yourself as being a misogynistic racist?
Yeah,
because
I guess so.
You've nailed it.
Right, exactly. And this new joke went out, and it got a little bit of laughter, but not a whole lot, because, mm-hmm. like, you know, whenever you mention, like, you know, gay people at all,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, folks clam up and whatnot, because they're the new super minority now. And so, yeah, and also one of the competitors was Leslie Ann Thompson,
mm-hmm.
who brings people in large numbers, including lesbians such as herself.
Yep.
And whatever, so.
Wait, what?
I'm thinking that might have, like.
Dude, this is a bigger spoiler than Bruce Wayne.
I'm thinking that might have finally, like, ended it for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I are.
You didn't court the lesbian vote?
I have no idea how, without making it seem. I should really just not mention, like, gays or lesbians.
That's what you have in common with Mitt Romney. You two are basically brothers.
That's racist. You said brothers. Yeah, see, like, you know, like,
I wasn't trying to get, like, racist or nothing.
Like, I thought that the cleverness of my introspection on trying to, like, get to know, like, you know, gays and lesbians
mm-hmm.
would be enough to kind of, like, make it funny that right. I wasn't saying anything negative about them, really. Mm-hmm. It was all deprecation on me that, right. like, you know, I'm understanding, like, you know, how they feel based mm-hmm. on, like, the stupid things that I'm doing. But it might need work, but see, it's brand new. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just did the thing about me shooting and robbing somebody that says that I wasn't black enough because that's racist towards blacks, which I can do. And then the thing about Megatron is creative and weird. And then I ended it with their diss nigger, which always is a crowd pleaser.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, so that ended off strong.
I always tell that joke when you're not around about myself.
It's they just don't get it, you know?
No. Well, when you were calling up, did people call you? Did they say, "This nigga Matt"? Did they say that, or like that nigga Gully?
Yeah, no, that was my nickname in middle school.
That nigga Gully.
Yeah,
Matt. That nigga Gully.
Yeah.
Say it then. Say your nickname from school.
I won't.
Okay then.
Because then it exists as an audio file that you can replay in future episodes.
A drop? Is that what you're afraid of?
Yes. I don't want to become a drop. Although there's some white guys saying the N-word at New Way now. That happened.
Who was this?
Kirk. He had a bit about the N-words.
Okay.
And I was just like, he's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going for it.
I'm thinking that, like, I have no problem with it in quotation.
Right.
Like, you know, is he using it or is just saying it?
Well, you were there. I mean, I was...
I forgot it.
All right.
I hear a lot of N-words. in my daily life.
And so sometimes when I think people talk about the awful things that comedians say,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes that if you're saying it to ramp up in the purpose, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like tennis players, you think they're just swatting it back and forth, but the really good ones are setting up winning shots, like,
mm-hmm.
four shots beforehand, like chess players almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're saying something awful so that the thing you say 15 seconds later is really contrasted, I think that's, like, people shouldn't be making a big stink about that because it's, like, the dynamic of the joke.
It's like Patrice O'Neill said, all we have now are sound bites and no more context.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But this show doesn't really run well when we're agreeing with each other. So I'm just going to go ahead and say Patrice O'Neill is a hack. And no, because I'm just...
I just made a look and you folded.
I know. I just saw that look and I'm
like... folded. Some guy told you, hey, don't cut ahead in line. And they're like, no, he was actually here first. And it's a point of pride for the week. A victory.
I have to take them where I can get them. You got to take them where you can get them.
Yeah.
No, I like Patrice O'Neill, but...
Yeah, and Self-Aware Roomba is very funny.
Thank you.
I follow him. I am, like, 7,457. Actually, I'm probably in your 30s because I was early onto it. Like,
you're an early adopter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I have been joined by Matt Gully, at Gully of One on Twitter. Yes. I am this D-I-G-G Johnson, this Dig on Twitter. You've been a great audience.
This episode was sponsored by Mitt Romney's horse.
Yep. What's his name?
Rafalka.
Rafalka.
Yep.
That's a badass name.
Rafalka, Mitt Romney's dancing Olympic horse.
I think so. That might be the title.
Mm-hmm.